Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much for what you've already given us this day. And now the blessed opportunity once again to get back in your word. Help us now as we do that to understand and apply in the right way. Thank you once again as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Last week, I preached an interesting sermon about the crooked and perverse nation that we are in. We are definitely in a crooked and perverse nation. And like I said over there in Philippians chapter 2 and pick it up in verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. It's God's will that we do his will. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. We, as born-again Christians, have the opportunity to shine as lights in this dark world. We can share the love of Jesus Christ. We can open up as a piece of conduit and let the light of Jesus Christ and the love of Jesus Christ flow through us into the world around us. And as I said last week, as dark as this country has become, that should motivate the Christians to shine that light even more. Because the Christian can stand out so much different amongst the rest of the world. And they do, as beacons in the darkness, shine that light. And we are given the Great Commission to do that very thing, to go out there into the world and to share the love of Jesus Christ, to shine his light into this dark world. If we'll turn to Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, where it reads, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And immediately they left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Jesus Christ gave us the example. Jesus Christ gave them the calling. That was very early on in his earthly ministry, to call those disciples and then use those disciples through the ministry, and gives us the opportunity to be a part of his ministry as well. And teaching the disciples also in Luke chapter 10, verse 1, after these things the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face and to every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. The caution that he included in there, that we are going out into that world. He's given us that great commission to go out and preach and teach the gospel. But we are as lambs before the wolves. The world is getting darker, as I said. The persecution of the Christians is getting more and more severe around the world. Countless people are being killed for being a Christian around the world. And increase of persecution in this country for being a Christian, which has dampened the motivation of many Christians to step up because they're fearful. But we got to know that the Lord's on our side. We don't need to be afraid. And in Matthew chapter 28, the great commission that he gives us, picking up verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. This message was given to them shortly before his ascension to the Heavenly Father. All power returned to Jesus Christ. And now Jesus Christ has power and authority over the final judgment of mankind, whether they wind up in the lake of fire or on a brand new, beautiful earth and heaven that the Lord has in store for us. But he gives us, by his power, by his might, by his authority, verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. He's right there with us always, always with us. And it's so amazing that he has allowed us to be a part of his work. We got to identify it as his work, acknowledge it as his work, and make sure that we always account it as his work, and know that he is always with us no matter what we're facing. As he says over in Hebrews chapter 13, in verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness. This is your interaction with others. How are you interacting with others? Are you interacting with others because you see something you can gain from that interaction with them? Or are you interacting with others because you want to help them? We need to be loving and caring and giving. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So he's right there with us. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. When we're out there in the world, when we're being persecuted, even if we're being horribly tortured and even killed, we don't have to worry about it, because like he says in verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. He's our helper. We don't have to be afraid of anything, because he's right there with us. The Holy Ghost calls the people in. They accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. The Holy Ghost indwells them, stays with them, constantly with them, guiding them, strengthening them, giving them the boldness. No matter what it is that you need, no matter what it is you're lacking, you ask for it, you use that for the blessing of the Lord to expand the kingdom, and he multiplies it that much more and more, which is so awesome. Because typically you think about when somebody gives you something, if you then turn around and give it to somebody else, then it's gone. You don't have it anymore. But that's not the way it is with salvation and with the blessings of the Lord. When he gives you a blessing, he gives it to you to share with others, to enjoy it yourself and to share it with others. And then as you share it, then he multiplies it that much more for you. Now, I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about the blessings that come from the knowledge that you know you have salvation. The blessings of the knowledge of the Word of God, the things that are really valuable, that's what we share, and it gets multiplied in ourselves. When you share your knowledge and understanding of the Word of God, when you display your faith, it gets multiplied. If you lack any of it, you ask for it, and he'll give you more. Even faith itself, because he tells us that. Ask for it, and then use it to bring honor and glory to the Lord, and then he multiplies it as well, which is so awesome. Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, perfect guidelines right here. If we want to be the most effective worker for the Lord, we need to be fully furnished with what we need to get out there on the front line and get to work. And in doing so, we can listen to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Rejoice evermore. As it continues, pray without ceasing. That constant communication is so important. Some people think you just have prayer at a certain time, formal. You sign on, and then you sign off. Like if you're on a telephone call or a radio, you're communicating with somebody, you sign on, you sign off. No. When it comes to prayer, we need to be in constant prayer with the Lord. Formal prayers amongst a group, yes, you have a sign on, sign off, simple. But at the same time, you need to be in constant prayer with the Lord. right? In the midst of a public prayer, you can still be praying yourself to the Lord. Even if it's, Lord, give me the right words that I say so I don't look like an idiot here praying to everybody, praying for everybody. That's a prayer as well. So we need to constantly be in that communication. When we have that constant communication, then we have that communion that we studied about earlier with the Holy Ghost, with the Holy Spirit, our spirit, and God, all being connected constantly, is available for us. And when you have that peace that passes all understanding that comes upon you, and you have that joyfulness of your salvation and that confidence that comes with that. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Back in verse 16, rejoice evermore. In everything, give thanks. It's hard sometimes to give thanks. When you wake up in the morning, you got these aches and pains and woes and cares. It's hard to be thankful. But it could be a whole lot worse. Give thanks for it. Through our sufferings, we can grow. Through our sufferings, we can learn and share our experiences with others and show them how they can go through the similar sufferings and still praise the Lord. So there's things to learn. There's a purpose for everything, as he tells us in Ecclesiastes. Purpose for everything. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, like we were speaking of earlier. You have that constant communion with the Holy Ghost, then you're listening. You haven't gagged him and tossed him in the back seat of your life and you're driving it yourself. You do that, you're going to wind up in the ditch. You need to get in the back seat and hang on for the ride. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Prove all things. That means make sure it's truth. Make sure it's accurate. Make sure you know where it come from. Consider the source. Like we were studying earlier in the book of Galatians. They started getting messed up. The Judaizers just come in and started pulling them away, trying to pull them back into the law. They weren't considering the source. They didn't test it and prove it. We've got to prove everything. Just because I stand up here and say something, I don't mean it's right. That don't mean it's accurate. That don't mean it's true. Unless I can back it up with the Word of God. That's the proof. You pray about it. Ask the Holy Ghost. Did what that preacher say today really hold true or not? Can it be backed up with the Word of God? If it can, then you can stand on it. If it can't, it might just be my opinion. And my opinion of its own is basically worthless unless it's backed up by the Word of God. So prove everything. Test it. Read it for yourself. Make sure it's truth and accurate. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. That's a tough one these days. It seems like a lot of people are in cahoots with the devil in their behavior. You have an awesome example of this, or I should say a profound example of this on social media these days, when you can go on there and look up a few of the so-called Christians and see what they're into. Like, they're not abstaining from the appearance of evil. They're getting right in there with it, totally destroying their testimony. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. How can we be blameless and found without blemish? Is by keeping it prayed up, like we were speaking of earlier in the small epistle of John there. We have the mediator. We have our advocate, Jesus Christ, praying for us constantly, the indwelling spirit of the Holy Ghost, which is awesome that he has provided that for us, that we constantly have the Holy Ghost right there in us doing things right. Even when we ain't got sense enough to do it right, he's doing it right. And over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, here we have a letter from Paul to Timothy, the last known letter that Paul wrote before he got his head cut off. And he was giving him some directions and guidance on how to behave as a leader in the church that we can also take example of in our lives, in our daily walk. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing, and his kingdom. Preach the word. As I have said before, preaching the word is different from teaching the word or speaking the word. When you preach it, you are delivering it with authority. When you deliver it with authority of the word of God, given to you by the knowledge and understanding of the word of God from God, then you can preach it. You're not just reading it. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. That means constantly able to respond when somebody asks you about it. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Got to test it. Got to make sure it's right. Consider the source. Make sure it's accurate. Long-suffering and doctrine. That means patiently dealing with folks. And doctrine, the truth. It's a study and a presentation of the truth. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And that's what we find going on in that crooked and perverse nation, in that crooked and perverse world that we are in, that they are not wanting to hear the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. Even though they know it, they still deny it and reject it, but we have the opportunity to present it, to give it to others. Therefore, we should, as it says over in 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Sanctification means set aside for a particular purpose and place. So when we have in our hearts a special place for the Lord indwell us with the Holy Ghost, that means to give place for that, keep that, have that, cherish that. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Are you always ready to proclaim Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you have that boldness to do that? We should. We can when we ask for that, and then use it. And be instant. Have it ready to go at all times. And as it says there, to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Hope. Hope is that confident anticipation and expectation of the fulfillment of the prophecies and promises of God. Have you got true hope? That's what true hope is. Confidence that he's going to do what he said, and he is doing what he's doing. Confidence in your salvation. You can be confident in your salvation when you ask for forgiveness. He gives you forgiveness. Verse 16, having a good conscience, that wherein they speak evil of you, talking about the world, they try to say good is evil and evil is good. That's sure on the increase in this country. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. They will be ashamed. If not now in this world, come judgment day, they're sure going to be ashamed. They're going to be ashamed of the way they treated the Christians. They're going to be ashamed someday. All going to be looked at. All going to be judged. Going to be a day of accountability. It gives us the opportunity to get out there and do the will of the Lord, to share the gospel. Some awesome guidelines on Christian behavior in Romans chapter 12. We'll go through this whole chapter rather speedily, but as it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's only reasonable that we should say, Lord, here I am, a hunk of clay, mold me into whatever you would have me to be, and then let him do it. It's only reasonable. After all, he paid the ultimate price for all sin of all mankind, past, present, and future, on that cross. For us, it's only reasonable that we should then in turn say, here I am, Lord, you bought me back from Satan. I am all yours. And be not conformed to this world, which is the challenge of these days. People trying to be conformed to this world rather than being conformed to the guidelines of Jesus Christ. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When you want to know the perfect will of God, you do what he just told us there, is to submit yourselves and to listen up, and he'll give you a revelation of his perfect will for you in your life. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Don't get puffed up when you start seeing the blessings come upon you, when you start getting the understanding and wisdom, and you start thinking, "Ooh, I am really something." No, you're just being used of the Lord. Hang on. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth, on teaching. Or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionated one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. That's a big one there. Preferring the association with Christians rather than association with the ungodly. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints. That's an important one as well. Looking out for each other. Helping each other grow and meeting the needs that they have. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. Giving to hospitality. Here's a challenging one. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. It's so quick for us to want to strike back, but nope, don't do it. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. You have some of these preachers that when they get a little bit of education, they start learning a few of the fancy words, they love to get up and just impress people and make the whole congregation feel like they're ignorant. They haven't won the congregation over. They've alienated themselves from the congregation, lifted themselves up as something holy and righteous and a genius in the word, but they just blew it. Like you said that back over in verse 3. To every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. We got to realize everything that we have is a blessing from the Lord. It belongs to him, not to us. He just allows us to use it. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. We cover these scriptures in Romans chapter 12 so often because it is so profound. These are the guidelines to have proper Christian behavior. And there are some people out there that we are going to go out and reach out to that we cannot live peaceably with. Those we need to just pray for, lift up, give to the Lord. That's what he's speaking of there. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. That's a tough one sometimes. It's so easy to want to just strike back just as quick as possible. And we got to control that. That's that tug of war sometimes between the body, where you have the flesh and the spirit in that battle. Sometimes that flesh comes up. It might be a physical strike, or it might be a verbal strike, or it might be some way that you go, "Oh, I'm going to get some payback." Not supposed to do that. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto the wrath For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. You know good and well the Lord can do a lot better job of the payback than we can. So let him have it. Let him do it. And we can have peace. We have that forgiveness. We have that weight lifted off of us. And we can have full joyfulness. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So much available for us to be able to be a part of. So much to be able to do. It is so awesome that he allows us to be a part of his work. And in doing so, he allows us to gain rewards that we'll be able to have to utilize during the millennial period and then over into the eternal state. It's so awesome. But we got to know and understand that as he said, as we read earlier in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. What is his pleasure? We read that. To go out and preach, teach the gospel. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. It's so easy to try to stir up some grief, some disputes, some arguments over things that people don't have in common belief. Shouldn't be seeking those things. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. We can shine as lights in the world. We can go out there and spread the gospel as he told us, as he gave us that great commission to go out and preach and teach the gospel, as he also reemphasized over there in Mark in chapter 16. In verse 15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. All of them. It says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. There is a day of judgment coming. We've got to be ready for it, because we know, as it says in Hebrews, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. So we know there's going to be a judgment. We know there's going to be a day of accountability. We can take advantage of the many things that he gives us to be a part of his works, that we can hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So go out and preach and teach and share the gospel and to warn the unruly. As you read the letter of Jude, I urge you to read that as well. We don't have time to cover that one, but the letter of Jude, he speaks in there about helping the unruly. That's our opportunity to help the ungodly out there. Not to be a condemning judge, but to evaluate an individual, whether they are godly or ungodly, so you know how to interact with them. When you evaluate them and determine that they are ungodly, then you know what you need to work with. And then you can help them, share the love with them. You can shine the light on them so they can see the pathway to come to the Lord. It isn't that we hate sinners. We hate the sin, not the sinners. So love everyone, just like he gave us that great commission to love God with all your existence and love others as yourself. That's the key thing. We abide by that, keep things straight, keep it prayed up, and warn the unruly, share the gospel, shine the light into this dark world. So much he allows us to be a part of, and it's so awesome. In addition to salvation, he gives us rewards that we'll be able to look forward to as well. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we truly thank you for all the many, many blessings you pour upon us. And the blessed opportunity to be a part of your work is so awesome. We truly thank you for that. Help us all to be aware of that. Help all of us to see those doors of opportunity that open up and give us the boldness to step on up and proclaim you as our Lord and Savior every opportunity that comes our way. Help all of us get ourselves out of the way and let your light and your love shine into this dark world. Thank you once again as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.